Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And that's why I'm here. Sean Grayson in for Dana and Parks today. Scott will be back Monday, right? If nothing else.
Scott will be back Monday. I pray to God that Dana is better by Monday as well. I hope better by the end of the day today.
Absolutely. So in the meantime, you got us. John Grayson, Sam Stevie, Dan Weinbaum in the news booth. And Dan, I want to start the hour with you, buddy, because I'm going to ask Sam this here in a second, too.
Oh, boy, what did I do?
No, nothing. But do you know why your name is Dan?
Yes.
Is it something you can share?
Well, it's the shortened version of Daniel.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, why did your parents choose that name for you?
Well, they thought about David, and then they said, nah, let's go with Daniel.
So it's not like a family name or anything. It's just they thought it was a nice name. It seemed to fit you, so life is good.
Yes, actually, it does turn out to be a family name, one of the first Weinbaums that came over in the 1840s, but they didn't know that at the time. But yeah, they went with Daniel.
That's funny, because our first son is BJ, and the B in BJ was short for Benjamin. And we named him that. It just came to me. You know, my wife at the time and I were going back and forth, just kind of, you know, tossing names back and forth at each other. And I said, what about Benjamin? And that seemed like, you know, a pretty decent way to go. So that ended up being his name. And that's seriously all it was. And about, maybe 6 months later, I got a very nice card from my great aunt who was married to my dad's Uncle Benny. She wanted to thank us for it. But I didn't tell her that. I was like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, wanted to pay homage, but it just never occurred to me, because I think I met Uncle Benny once when I was three.
Well, we used one of the first letter of one of the matriarchs of the family to apply to our son. I think her name was Anne, and so we used the A for our son, who was the first born grandchild, great grandchild, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, then he became Asher.
Yeah, our second son is Cameron, and his middle name is Christopher, which was an homage to my then wife's mother, who is Christine. Oh. So we just, you know, did kind of a similar thing. It's weird. It's like you grew up in my house, Dan.
Very similar experiences and thought processes.
Yeah, see, and my middle name is David, because that was my dad's name. And Jonathan came from a book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which came out within a couple of months of me being born. So
very cool.
Yeah, it was just the big new thing. What about you, Sam? Do you know why your parents chose Samuel for you?
My mother chose it exclusively, and it was a cry for help and nothing more. She decided early on, right after finding out that she was pregnant with me, that my initials, no matter what, were going to be SOS.
SOS.
She landed on Samuel or Samantha pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Wasn't quite sure where she was going to go with the middle name. But, you know, third trimester, had landed on Olivia or Oliver, and Samuel Oliver. Here I am.
Oliver.
SOS.
Yeah,
that's
SOS.
A great name.
So we can tap out your initials in Morse code really easily.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Cool.
And to this day, by the way, the cry for help still stands. If anybody would like to help, no.
Now, the reason I ask is because this is my stop the world, I want to get off segment of the program, because I saw this article today and thought, no, this cannot be real. I mean, this is right up there in terms of occupation. This is right up there with pet psychic. There's a woman by the name of Taylor Humphrey, She lives in San Francisco because, of course, she does. You'll get that in a minute. She is a professional baby name consultant. Yeah. So if you're stuck, if you've got a baby on the way and you're stuck for a name, she will assist you in picking out a baby name. And do you know what her top level package costs for one single baby name?
$17,000.
30.
Oh my.
30 grand. And now there's a little more to the story than that. She has packages that if you just want to email her a couple of details about you and your spouse and where you live and all of that stuff, she'll email you back a baby name for a couple of $100. And
that's okay.
You know, most of the people that are her clientele are like that.
Does the 30 grand package include free nannying for the first 5 years of their life?
I was thinking sex, really, but what are you charging 30 grand for? So the answer to that is that's for clientele whose baby name will be of interest to the general public. Think politicians, movie stars, rock stars. I mean, we talked yesterday about Northwest when that, you know, when Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's kid was born, and that was a big deal. Blue Ivy, who is Beyonce's kid, right? That was another one.
I can't keep up with all of them. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Somebody out there has got a Blue Ivy. And that was a big deal. And so I kind of get it on that. $30,000 is still an awful lot to spend for something like that. But that involves her flying to your location and hanging out with you for a little while so that she can kind of get the rhythm of who you are and all of that stuff. And she said, she goes through a bunch of gobbledygook about how your name absolutely shapes who you are. I'm not sure I buy that. But the one sentence in this that just absolutely slayed me is she was talking about who, she didn't name any of her clientele, but she said something to the effect of, you know, if you are famous and people are going to be interested in you and interested in your child, you probably don't want to name him Aquaman. I was like, really? That's your advice?
Well, as we mentioned yesterday, there is a kid out there named North whose last name is West.
Yep.
So
I just, the whole thing.
Trying too hard.
It shouldn't be that big a deal. The only advice that I would give, and I speak from experience, and Jamie and I talked about this a time or two when we were doing the show together, is don't give your kid a normal name with an abnormal spelling.
Yeah.
That will be a pain in the butt for the rest of your child's life. And again, I speak from experience because I'm a John with no H. So every time I have to give my name to somebody who's going to type it into a computer somewhere, hey, what's your name? John, J-O-N. I have to spell it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I have a friend who has two daughters. One's name is Jade, and it's spelled J-A-E-D-E. And the other one is Jordan, spelled J-O-E-R-D-A-N.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Right. And those kids are going to have to do that forever. They're going to have to spell their names out, and it's a pain. Don't do that.
I know of a corporate professional in this country whose first name, and again, he is a corporate professional, so he leads a lot of meetings,
mm-hmm.
whose name is Bobby. Now, how do you spell Bobby weird, you know? His name is Bobby. Bob B. B-O-B-B is his name.
God.
Okay.
No
what's
way.
What's the strangest name you've ever run into?
Well, I don't want to say because it was a listener.
Well, that's okay.
Well, there's the old story of Lamangelo and Orangelo.
Orangelo, right. Yeah, I think that one's apocryphal, but I did. I knew a kid when I was in eighth grade whose name was Attila.
Oh, okay.
Just never ran into another Attila. I mean,
interesting.
Other than Attila the Hun, that's the only other Attila that I could name. And so I guess his parents were real big fans or
now,
something.
Is if you do that, if you go and you pay some lady in San Francisco 30 grand to name your child because you're so famous that your kid's name is going to matter to the degree that you have to spend 30 grand on it. Do you have to keep that secret until your deathbed?
That because you actually spent that kind of money?
What does it say to your kid that you didn't have the time
to
sit and think about what you wanted their name to be, that you had to go pay some lady who claims to be a professional baby namer? By the way, I don't think there's any certification out there for baby naming.
No.
Like, yeah, you know, I didn't love you enough to really think about it myself, so I paid somebody 30 grand to come up with John.
We brought in an expert
Mm. Well, see, and that's why I said the thing about pet psychics. It's like, okay, how do you know she's right? You know, I've got the perfect name for your child. It's Jehoshaphat. You know, and then you're going, well, wait a minute. Wait, how do you know that she's going to give your child the right name? You know, when the pet psychic tells you that your dog is having anxiety because you keep leaving your socks on the floor, how do you know she's right?
And what is the problem with the thousands of names that we have to pick from already?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be original. Yeah. You know, I think that started to grow up at the same time that gender reveal parties started to become a thing.
Something else we don't need.
Exactly. Because you and your spouse are the only ones in the world who care.
Right.
Nobody else.
Maybe grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just close family. And nobody else cares. You know, it's just an excuse to get together and have cake, which is fine. But don't go blowing stuff up.
But you did mention how everybody needs a unique name now. I have heard that many times and even read it in news stories that people name their kids literally unique. And imagine going through life with the name Unique.
Trying too hard.
That was an Eddie Murphy joke. You know, the twins, Monique and Unique. But yeah, I guess I do. I had another friend who is still my friend, who I also knew from eighth grade, whose name is Peter Paul. And so he always got one of two things. It was either Where's Mary or I Love Your Candy Bars. So, you know, it's not cool to like name your kid after somebody famous either, especially Attila the Hun. It's probably a bad way to go. But if you have an interesting story, and we'll check
Attila
in on
gets
the text
a bad
line.
Rap.
Yeah, definitely. We'll check in on the text line in just a little bit. If you want in, 913-586-7798. But if you've got an interesting story for how your name was arrived at or how you arrived at your child's name, by all means, give us a call and tell us all about it. We'll do some more talking coming up. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks, Sam Stevie, Dan Weinbaum, gang's all here. More to come.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dana and Parks continues. John Grayson here with you. Sam Stevie alongside. Sam, what do we got coming up later in the show?
It is a Friday afternoon. That means we've got Festivus Friday coming up in about an hour and a half, a little more than an hour and a half, where we will let you air your grievances. We look forward to it. Festivus Friday brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue, pit to plate. Q39KC.com.
Excellent. And don't forget, if you miss any of that, if you can't be around for it, or if you miss any of the show and you want to go back and revisit, you can always do that via the podcast at KMBZ.com.
Or it's Apple, Spotify, you, so. Wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out.
Any place. So do that thing. 913-586-7798 will get you in here. And we'll go first to Hannah, who's calling in from Kansas City. Hello, Hannah.
Hey, welcome back, Grayson. It's good to hear your voice on the radio again.
Thank you. You're kind to say so. So tell us, you got a good name story for us?
So I do, I think. My daughter's name is, she's 16 years old, and her name is Ellison, and it's spelled E-L-L-Y-S-O-N. And I've only found her name spelled that way one other place, and it was when we were in Springfield about 10 years ago, probably, at the aquarium, and there was another mother yelling for her daughter, Ellison, get over here, Ellison, get over here. And I'm like, who's yelling at my kid? come to find out, spelled the same way, about the same age, and they live down near Springfield. But that's the only other Ellison I've ever heard of.
That's good. So, yeah. And, you know, it's really funny you mentioned that because when ours were about 3 and 6 or 3 and 7, we were at the zoo. And again, they were Benjamin and Cameron, although we called Benjamin BJ, but we were there at the zoo. And there's another woman who was there with a friend of hers, and they had a couple of kids running around. And she, I couldn't believe it. She went, "Benjamin, Cameron, let's go." And I was like, "Wait a minute. Why are you calling my kids?" That is what, now, how did you come up with that one?
So I really liked the name Ellie. It seemed pretty popular at that time, but yep. Everyone was naming their child Ellie. And so I wanted kind of a different take on it. And my mom actually just kind of came up with adding the S-O-N to the end. And I absolutely fell in love with it, thought it was unique. It's easy to spell. It's not difficult to pronounce or anything like that. The only problem is a lot of people call her Ellison instead of Ellison, but it's okay.
Gotcha. All right, Hannah, thanks a lot for checking in. We'll go from there to Lansing, where David is standing by. Hey, David.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Couldn't be better now that you're here. What's happening?
Well, a friend of mine, while he was in the Army, was deployed to another country. And while he was there, a lady came into the hospital and gave birth to a baby girl. When she got the birth certificate, she thought the Army had named her child Famali. But what she didn't, what they didn't realize is she was looking at the word female, and she thought the name was Famali. So the baby's name is Famali.
So it just stuck. I love it. David, thanks. And you know, last names are kind of an interesting one as well, because, or at least they can be. Mine came off of a gravestone. So, because... Yeah, our
typically
family
they're put
name,
on gravestones.
Yeah, I know. Our family name was changed twice. Once at Ellis Island, and then once again when, because Ellis Island, they changed it to Goldstein. Real original, right? Hey, it's a Jewish guy. What are we going to call? I don't know, Goldstein? So that happened, and then my grandfather found out that if you're in business in the 1940s and 50s and your name is Sid Goldstein, that can be kind of a hindrance. So he went to the cemetery and just started looking up last names, and he figured he'd stick with the same initials. So it had to be a G name, and he found one that was Grayson. And it's just
wild.
Yeah. He said, all right, I'll go with that. Let's go back to it. And Robert in Odessa is standing by. Hey, Robert.
Hello. Hello.
What's going on?
33-year-old daughter was born. We named her Samantha, but on the birth certificate, the N was not wrote down, and her legal name is Samantha.
Whoops.
You have to deal with that her whole life.
And there's nothing you can do about that?
I guess not.
Wow.
She might be able to, but she's gotten used to it.
Right, yeah. And I guess it only comes up because if somebody writes it Samantha on a like a, you know, on a memo or something like that, it's not going to make any difference.
Correct. Just legal documents.
Very cool. Robert, thanks. Yeah, I wonder if she would have to go, like, through the process you would go through if you were going to change your name to have a new birth certificate issued and all of that stuff. That seems like a lot of hassle for not much. Let's go. We'll finish this one up with Ron, who's calling in from Kansas City. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
I got a baby name story, and it's not the spelling. It's how we came up with it. So my wife's family, there was quite a few John Pauls, and she was dead set on naming John Paul, and I didn't want nothing to do with that. So the next day in the hospital, I told her, I'm ready to leave, go home, take a shower, and get you something to eat, so we need to pick a name. And she wouldn't budge off John Paul. She says, you pick. So believe it or not, I opened the drawer, grabbed the phone book, flipped it open, wasn't looking, pointed to it, and it was Jesse James something, and I said, well, his name's Jesse James Smallwood.
Yeah,
so we got lucky.
Yep, and you did go with a famous name. All right, thanks a lot for checking in, Ron. Tell you what, we're getting down close to the bottom of the hour. We got a couple of you on hold. Stick with us, and we'll get to your phone calls here in just a couple. And if you're not here yet and you want to throw in, 913-586-7798. We've got some more we'll get into after the bottom of the hour as well. Stick with us. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks on a Friday. So a San Francisco woman charges up to $30,000 as a baby name consultant. Now, the $30,000 package, that's the top of the line. And even she admits that that's a crazy amount of money to spend on a baby name consultant. But it's all of the travel and the work that she has to do, you know, putting press releases together and things like that. It's for people who are going to announce broadly, like their baby name is going to be talked about on the evening news, that sort of thing. But for a couple of $100, you can just contract her, tell her a little bit about yourself, and she'll talk to you over email. and consult on your baby's name. Because some people, I guess, take it that seriously. But we got into talking about stories about how your name was come up with or how you came up with your kids' names, if there is an interesting story behind it. Because, I mean, with a lot of us, it's just, I don't know, I thought of it. It seemed to fit and it seemed to work okay.
I did pull up a list of the weirdest celebrity baby names because that is the package that costs $30,000.
So we talked Blue Ivy. We talked Northwest. Who else is on there?
Of course, the number one on that list is a descendant of Elon Musk. And I'm not even going to pretend to be able to read the name. It's XAEA-12, which apparently has some sort of pronunciation that I don't know.
Sure.
The son, yeah, baby boy of Amber Rose and Jeff, easy for me to say, Def Jam Records exec Alexander Edwards, they named him Slash Electric.
Okay.
Derek Jeter has a daughter, not really sure based on the name, Story.
Okay, I like that. That's a cute name for a girl.
Yeah, we have a Beatrice Danger, a Navy Rome, Banks Violet, Gravity Blue. Oh, Ode Mountain. What's your name, son? Ode.
Well, you know, the first commissioner of Major League Baseball was Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
You're making that up.
No, that's true.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so Mountain has been there for a couple of them. And, yeah, I knew a girl when I was in high school whose name was Maybe. Just like the word, and I thought, I don't know exactly what that says about you
was
or about
most
your parents.
Indecisive person ever.
Yeah, it's like, you want to go out to dinner?
Maybe.
Eh, maybe. We'll go back to the phones. And Jacob is up next out of Platte City. Hey, Jacob.
Call me maybe.
That's right. And I guess you could.
Oh Lord, dude, it's good to hear you on the radio again. How you
Thank
been?
You. I've been all right.
I'm good. So before I get into how I named my daughter, I, believe it or not, was originally supposed to be Levi.
Levi? Really? Okay. Nice Old Testament name.
I don't know where that come from, and I don't know where Jacob come from, so I ain't got nothing there for you, but excuse me. So I named my daughter Allison, and ironically, she has her first name and her initials are both automotive related. Her initials, I didn't intend on it to be, but they're AMC.
Oh, okay.
Her first name is Allison. And we've been going back and forth, kind of trying to figure out what we was going to name her. And one day at work, I was actually driving one of our automatic trucks, which have Allison transmissions in them. And I was sitting there looking at the little Allison logo on the shifter pad. And I was like,
yep.
I was like, you know, that name sounds nice. I was like, I hate these transmissions, but I really like that name. And I told my wife, I was like, hey, let's name her Allison. And she's like, well, where'd you come up with that at? And I told her, and she was like, that would be something you would do.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, it's better than naming her Hurst or, you know, or something else that's automotive related like that. All right. Hey, Jacob, I love it, man. Thank you for the call. And again, good to hear your voice,
brother.
As well. We'll go up next to Kurt, who's calling in from Lenexa. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, good afternoon, Grayson, John. Sorry about that. It's good to hear you on the radio again, at least for a brief time.
I appreciate it.
My godson, his first name is Brixton, and my cousin came up with that. They were trying to find names, and supposedly it means British royalty, I guess.
Yep.
And then my sister had a doctor. His last name was Dr. Sweat.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I am proud to share my last name with one of the members of the band Metallica. His name is Kirk Hammett, and that's my last name.
Okay. That's
it. There's a football player for either Cincinnati or Cleveland. I don't know where he's at now, but his name is Sion Taki-Taki.
Oh, yeah, Taki-Taki. I love that because it always reminds me of George of the Jungle because he had the Tuki-Tuki bird. So, you know, Taki-Taki, Tuki-Tuki, it's close.
Right. The other player that I remember is my uncle. We're talking about this the other day. The other football name, his name is Rocky Asin.
Oh, yes. Well, and I mean, the NFL has given us a number of them over time. There was a guy back in, I think back in the 70s, who played for the New Orleans Saints, whose name was Jubilee Dunbar. All right. I guess his parents were really happy. Name the kid Jubilee. Why not?
One of my favorite from modern times, and this is a real college football player who, by the way, got an endorsement with an HVAC company. First name, the coldest.
No.
The coldest.
The coldest?
As in the coldest, but
yeah, right. As coldest. In, this is the coldest I've ever been.
Yeah, so, you know, got an HVAC endorsement out of it. It paid off eventually, but yeah, the coldest Crawford coming at you.
Love it. Let's keep it going. We've got one more to get to. I believe Barb is up next with us out of Odessa. Hi, Barb.
Good to hear your voice, honey. Are you retired now?
Yeah, I keep trying.
Well, I have a granddaughter. Her name is Kasena, which is spelled K-A-S-E-E-N-A, and her mother made that name up, and I thought it was really unique.
Yeah, it is. Do you know how she arrived at it, or was it just something she was playing around with, you know, different sounding words?
Well, she didn't like Cassandra, and she didn't like that other name, so she broke it off, and her nickname is Cena. They, you know, they call her Cena for short.
Yeah.
But she lost her mom when she was 12, so that meant a lot to her, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. All right. Hey, Barb, thanks a lot for getting in. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
We're gonna switch around a little bit. There's something, and you and I both found this one, Sam. I landed on this early this morning, and it was on your stack as well, about a guy, and I have had something so similar to this happen. It was crazy. As I was reading the story, it was bringing back memories. And I said it was a guy. It was not. My apologies. It was a woman in New York who went to the mechanic. And you know the old adage about how as soon as you tell the mechanic what the problem is, it's not going to happen anymore?
Oh, of course, it's making this noise, and then it won't make it.
Right, and that's exactly what happened here. So she brought her car to the mechanic and said, it's making this kind of cracking or crackling noise under the dashboard, and I can't for the life of me figure out what it is. I look under there, nothing looks out of place. It's not the wiring isn't sparking. There's nothing, you know, it's not like my little ordeal.
You have no experience with crackling under a dashboard, do you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, when my car caught on fire right before I left. So
Right in front of a highway camera.
Yeah, of course. Yes. And it was kind of them to turn the camera and zoom in on me. I thought that was very nice. I really appreciated that.
You look good that day.
Way to go, Casey Scout. So anyway, she brings her car to the mechanic. It is making this cracking or crackling noise. And the mechanic takes the car out, drives it around for a while. And he says, I don't hear anything. She had had this car for like 5 years, so it was a new problem. And the mechanic did say that he found signs of rodents in the engine compartment. And if you know cars and really wiring just in general, you know that this is a big problem. We had this happen with one of our cars not all that long ago that had sat for a while, and a mouse got into it and chewed the wiring up, screwed up everything in the back of the car.
They drew the wiring into their nesting, right?
Yeah, well, what they do, they use the wire part of the wiring for the nesting, and the outside, the insulation on the
casing,
wires,
yeah,
used to be made out of cloth. Then it was rubber. They don't use either one of those anymore. They use a plastic that's made out of soybean oil. So the mice love it. They get in it and they eat up all of the stuff. So even if they don't take the wiring out, you're going to get shorts like crazy because all the wiring is bare now. They've eaten all the insulation off of it. And that's what happened with ours. So we had to rewire the entire back of the car. So he did find some evidence of that, but it was nothing. I mean, there was nothing indicating that that was making any noise, and the mechanic couldn't isolate the noise. And they said they reported that they didn't hear the noise. So the caper was finally cracked after she got back in the car from the shop. And all of a sudden, there's the crackling noise again. And the New Yorker noticed that the source on her infotainment screen. Yeah, you see where this one's going, right? You see, she used one of those noise generators to get to sleep.
Oh, my. No.
Yeah, she had her Sounds of Nature app going, and it was set on campfire. So, yeah, it was coming through the speakers. And that's why if she wasn't in the car,
it wouldn't
the
play.
Bluetooth wouldn't work, and the sound never happened. So as soon as the mechanic got in and drove it away, there's no more noise. And the crazy thing... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and we wonder why we need caution. Contents may be hot on the side of a coffee cup.
Right. When I was in high school, my buddy Jeff and I would get in my mom's car because she had a Mustang convertible. And, you know, you want to look cool when you're in high school. So driving around the Mustang. Now, it was an 83 Mustang convertible, which is about the dorkiest looking Mustang they ever had. But still, it was a ragtop and it was Florida. So life was good. And so we used to ride around town with the top down, cranking music and just having a good time. But every so often, we actually want to talk. So I'd turn the music down so that we could hear each other. And I was driving around with the sound down, and I kept hearing this noise, this clunking noise. And it wasn't on any particular rhythm. It just was this weird noise that kept coming, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And I thought, is there something wrong maybe with the car's suspension? Is one of the ball joints, is the rubber getting old and it's starting to clunk under there? No, and it didn't matter if we were accelerating or braking or turning or anything. There was nothing that would make it louder or softer or go away or come back. It just was there.
Huh.
Turns out I didn't have the stereo turned down all the way. And Led Zeppelin 2 had gotten to a song called Moby Dick.
Okay.
Moby Dick is about 30 seconds of Jimmy Page wailing on the guitar, followed by a 10-minute drum solo by John Bonham. And so the noise was just Bonzo going crazy on the drum kit. But it was low enough that it sounded like car noises. Huh. And yeah, I have had exactly that same kind of embarrassment.
That does happen to me whenever I'm listening to a new song, maybe it's a song I haven't heard in a while. And car speakers are really good, especially if you have the nice four-way speakers.
Sure.
And a sound will come in, and it sounds like it's coming from under your seat. And for me, anytime, especially driving a vehicle with 265,000 miles on it, anytime I hear a slight sound that might be a bad thing going on with the vehicle, I hyperfixate on it. So I literally, all the time, will just turn my stereo off. Oh, nope, that was part of the song. Thank God. And just keep on driving. We do have a quick breaking news update, John.
Do tell.
Sean Diddy Combs was in court today awaiting his sentencing for the conviction of two counts of prostitution. Traveling? I can't remember the specific prostitution charge, but something like that.
Prostitution across state lines,
Four years in prison.
4 years. Diddy's going away. Yeah, he was asking for what effectively would have amounted to time served, which means he was asking for, I think it was 3 or 4 months, which is what he's already done. So they would have just let him go. The prosecutors wanted a lot more than that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think they were talking about a decade or more. So.
They were asking for 11 or more. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And so you had mentioned they were asking for time served. He was arrested during the raid in mid-September last year. So he has been behind bars for a year now. So he's only got 3 more years that he has to be in jail. And good behavior, if he does have good behavior, which based on what we've been hearing from his attorneys and he's teaching some business class, he'll be out far sooner than that. And I think most people agree that's not enough.
Do we know where he's going to be serving the sentence?
That I don't know. Probably the plush prison that he's in right now in New York.
Almost without doubt. All right.
Here's your steak, Mr. Combs.
If you want to make comment, 4 years for Diddy for prostitution-related charges, and we'll get to more of that coming up. If you want to jump in, 913-586-7798. John Grayson in for Dana and Parks. Sam Stevie alongside on a Friday afternoon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday afternoon continues. John Grayson here with you, in for Dana and Parks today. Sam Stevie alongside, and I've got to take you to New Jersey. I apologize in advance for having to take you to New Jersey, but I got to take you to New Jersey. There's an attraction that's getting ready to shut down for good. For the last 14 years, there has been an organization in New Jersey that was, it's called Field Station Dinosaurs, and it's kind of like just a dinosaur-themed attraction. And he said that the guy who runs the place, Guy Gissell, said that after 14 years, he's got to shut down. They've welcomed over a million guests over time. And I always wonder about stuff like this, where when an attraction like that closes down, what happens to all their stuff? Like, does it sit there for a while? Or I actually saw this happen one time. They were closing down a Ruby Tuesdays. And if you know from Ruby Tuesdays, you know that that's one of those places you go and they've got all the kitsch on the walls.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the posters and sleds and hubcaps and just anything.
To make them look hyper-local.
Yeah. And so the places that do that, like TGI Fridays used to do that. And there's Chili's. Sometimes you'll see that kind of stuff. That's just, you know, the little kitschy stuff that's up on shelves and on the walls. They don't own that stuff. There are companies who lease them that stuff. And they'll come in and decorate your place for you. And then I happened to be at a mall in St. Louis when they were closing down the Ruby Tuesdays. And the guy showed up with the big trailer, taking all of his sleds and hubcaps and all that stuff down off the walls and putting it in the trailer and taking it away. God. So, you know, who knew that that was a business model?
A hoarder's dream.
Yeah, right. And this thing, this New Jersey theme park that they're shutting down, being dinosaur themed, has a bunch of life-size dinosaurs. Replicas, obviously. They're not real dinosaurs, but they're there. And now the guy's just selling them all off.
Are you sure with modern technology they're not real dinosaurs?
Well, you know, they could be if you extract the blood out of the amber. Anyway, you could buy a life-size T-Rex or a life-size Triceratops or something like that. And they run between $500 and $3,500 each.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No, I know. And, well, he does say that they are slightly used and well-loved. The dinosaurs are listed in used and fair condition.
Oh, I'm sure they were outside and taking on the elements for however many years this business was up and running.
Right. And so, yeah, his life-size 39-foot Tyrannosaurus Rex is listed at $2,700. So if you've always wanted to have the backyard decoration of backyard decorations, you can go get yourself a T-Rex, a life-size T-Rex replica at $2,700 out of New Jersey.
That's a good deal if the mechanics still work. Now, you had talked about abandoned places, and always in movies, Zombieland's a big one. We always hear about the abandoned theme park. I was down in Arkansas for the eclipse, whatever that was, last year, the year before. And I drove past a legit abandoned theme park. And man, it took everything in me not to pull over into that parking lot, hop that fence, and explore. But I didn't. I was a good boy.
If you ever want to do some online exploring, look up the theme park in Chernobyl. Great photographs.
Okay.
You can find some intense photographs of those. We'll do some more talking after the top of the hour. Stick with us.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.